Welcome, listeners, but take heed. We will say whatever we need
to share our knowledge, thoughts, and joy, and even things that do annoy.
Before we begin, please be aware, we have a tendency to swear.
You have been warned, make no mistake, so join us now.
We're For Fox's Sake. Welcome to For Fox's Sake, a Harry Potter book movie compare and contrast podcast. I'm Ellen, and my co-host with the most is Carly.
I am the most extra.
I just liked it because it rhymes.
Yeah, you like rhymes.
And, like, most could apply to just about anything.
Yeah, good. You're right. Most fun, most pretty.
No, most Hufflepuffy? Pretty.
Most Hufflepuffy.
No. You're pretty.
You're pretty.
You're pretty.
But let's pretty fly our way into the Phoenix flashback. Last week, we covered the first half of Chapter 11, Hermione's Helping Hand, and the corresponding film scenes. We're met with the trio drowning in schoolwork, very much like Hermione has been since the third year. Hermione and Harry are missing Hagrid very much and vow to go visit him after the Quidditch trials. However, if you're watching the movie, none of that happens, and we jump right into the Quidditch trials. We get a montage of basically just keeper tryouts. Ron and a newcomer, Cormac McLaggen, are competing against each other for that title. Hermione confundises Cormac. Unless you're reading the book, then you just think Cormac isn't very good at flying a broom. Ron achieves keeper and is very pleased with himself that he is appealing to Hermione. But Lav-Lav is less than pleased that Hermione seems to be flirting with Ron.
During episode 214, Magical Jackass, our Potter pondering was, would you keep the graffitied advanced potion making book? Why or why not?
Hey guys, it's Jackson with my Potter pondering. Would I keep the graffitied copy of advanced potion making? Hell yes I would. It's so useful. It's got all those tips for potions. It's got those great spells. I mean, Sectum Semper is a bit of a iffy one, but, I mean, you'd only really use that on enemies and those who deserve it. So, yeah, I would keep it.
Hi, this is Jessica calling in my Potter Pondering, and yes, I would keep the graffitied potions book. However, I would be a lot more skeptical than Harry of any random scribbles of spells than he was, because what if he had actually cast Sectum Sempra on Ron instead of the Levy Corpus? Like, what would he have done in that situation if he, like, accidentally did that cutting spell on his best friend instead of just, you know, being funny and levitating him? You know, like, I know Harry recognized the spell, but at the same time, he still used Sectum Sempra on Draco without knowing what the spell did, and then, like, regretted it afterwards, even though it was Draco. So, boy's gotta be a much more of a thinker when it comes to just trying out random spells that he's never heard of before. And then, of course, it took him a second to find how to get Ron down from just floating in the air. The scribbling for, like, the potions and stuff like that, thumbs up. You know, Harry, you tried it. It worked great, but using the spells and casting it on his best friend when he's not really sure what it's gonna do, bro, think that through better next time. So for that, I'm on Hermione's side about he's gotta be a lot more careful.
I know Harry's at a magic super special school, but in the UK at least, there's nothing more suspicious than a book that hasn't had graffiti put all over it. So I'd keep the book just to keep out of everyone's suspicions, basically.
Kendra said, I think if I had a choice, I would have tried to get a brand new one. I was one of those students that loved brand new textbooks. But of course, once I started learning from the scribbles, I would have done as Harry did and kept it and followed it. Amanda wrote, hell yeah, who wouldn't want recipes that are even better than what the book tells you? Plus, it's not cheating when they're just notes to improve the outcome. Sounds like a potion making volume 2 needs published, lol.
Thank you so much for your responses.
Our trivia question last week was, what will Harry be doing for his detention with Professor Snape? The answer is he will be sorting rotten flobberworms from good flobberworms, and there will be no need for protective gloves.
Blech. Blech. Congratulations goes to
Jessica Wallace.
Yay!
This makes it 2 weeks in a row. It's officially a streak. Kalista did actually answer the question first, and it was technically a correct answer, but just for the wrong detention. So, not a win, but she is right there with answers. It's going to be some tough competition for Jessica to keep this streak going. So, anybody could win next time. Who's it going to be?
You never know. For now, let's dive into the second half of Chapter 11, Hermione's helping hand, and the not really corresponding film scenes.
Chapter 11, Hermione's Helping Hand, Part 2. Harry is extremely hungry and hopes there is food at Hagrid's, as Ron happily talks through his trial and comments on how McLagan looked like he'd been confounded when he went off in the wrong direction. Harry is very surprised to see Hermione turn pink at these words, but Ron doesn't notice as he continues to talk through his penalties. When they reach Hagrid's cabin, they find Buckbeak tethered out front. Hermione still finds him intimidating, but Harry steps forward and bows. When Buckbeak returns the bow, Harry pets him and quietly asks him about missing him too, but being okay there with Hagrid. The half-giant then comes around the corner of his hut and yells at them for being too close to the hippogriff before realizing it's the trio. Though Fang immediately starts trying to jump up and lick Ron and Hermione, Hagrid is not happy to see them and turns away to go into his cabin and slams the door behind him. Hermione is stricken, but Harry begins to beat on the door and tell Hagrid that if he doesn't open it, he will blast it open. Hermione protests, but Harry insists and says to stand back. Before he can do anything, Hagrid throws the door open and yells at Harry for threatening to break down his door, calling him Potter. Harry responds saying that he's sorry, adding an emphasized sir at the end, which throws Hagrid off. When he asks Harry since when has he called him sir, Harry responds, since when have you called me Potter? Hagrid is annoyed, but does end up inviting them in, though he just figures they feel sorry for him. Harry immediately says they wanted to see him, and Hermione adds that they missed him. Hagrid doesn't really buy this, so Hermione tries to explain that they really wanted to take care of magical creatures, but they couldn't fit it into their schedules. He still doesn't really believe this, but a weird squelching sound distracts them all and they look around. Hermione shrieks, and Ron leaps out of his seat at the sight of what looks like foot-long maggots in a barrel in the corner. Harry attempts to sound interested instead of revolted as he asks what they are. Hagrid explains they are giant grubs that he got to feed Aragog, then bursts into tears. Hermione jumps up to comfort him, and he explains that he thinks Aragog is dying. She asks if there's anything they can do, and Hagrid says he doesn't think so, since the rest of Aragog's tribe is getting funny now that he is ill and he doesn't think it would be safe for anyone but him to get near them. He does appreciate her offer, and the mood lightens considerably. Hagrid seems to concede that their timetables are full and apologizes for being aloof, since he has been worried about Aragog and wondering if they would have wanted to continue if Professor Grubblyplank had been teaching instead. All three of them immediately and untruthfully insist that Professor Grubblyplank was a dreadful teacher, and by the time he waves them away at dusk, Hagrid looks much more cheerful. Harry says he's starving and doesn't have much time before his detention with Snape, so they hurry across the grounds. When they reach the castle, they spot Cormac McLagan attempting to enter the Great Hall and ricochet off the doorframe the first time. Ron laughs, but Harry grabs Hermione's arm and quietly tells her that it looks like McLagan was confounded and that he had been standing right in front of where she was sitting. In a whisper, she admits that she did it, but she didn't like the way he was talking about Ron and Ginny, and he has a nasty temper, so Harry would not have wanted him on that team anyway. Harry agrees, but teases her about being dishonest as a prefect. He smirks as she snaps at him to be quiet, and Ron realizes they are lagging behind and reappears to suspiciously ask what they are doing. They both say nothing and hurry after him into the Great Hall, where the smell of roast beef makes Harry's stomach ache with hunger.
Before they can make it to the Gryffindor table, Slughorn blocks their path and greets Harry, saying he was looking for him to invite him to supper in his room, as he will be having a bit of a party with some rising stars. He lists them off and also invites Hermione, completely ignoring Ron. Harry immediately informs Slughorn that he can't go since he has detention with Professor Snape, but Slughorn thinks he will be able to persuade Severus to postpone the detention and strides away. Harry is sure he won't be able to since Dumbledore already had him move at once, and Hermione expresses how she wishes he could go so she didn't have to go alone. Ron seems upset about being ignored by Slughorn and snaps that Ginny will probably be invited too, so she won't be alone. After dinner, they head back to the Gryffindor Tower and manage to find a free table. Ron is still in a bad mood and sits down, folding his arms and staring at the ceiling. Hermione opens her copy of The Evening Prophet, and Harry asks if there's anything new. She says not really, and then tells Ron his dad is mentioned. Ron immediately panics, but she clarifies that he's all right. It just says he conducted a fruitless second search of the Malfoy Manor after a confidential tip. Harry tells them that it was his tip and figures that Malfoy must have brought whatever he wanted fixed to Hogwarts with him. Hermione doesn't think he could have, since they were all searched when they arrived, and Harry is shocked, since his late arrival meant he wasn't. Hermione informs him that Filch ran all of them over with a secrecy sensor, and any dark object would have been found and confiscated, like the shrunken head Crabbe tried to bring in. So Malfoy couldn't have brought in anything dangerous. Harry speculates that someone could have sent it to him, like his mother, but Hermione shoots down that thought too, since the owls are also being checked. This stumps Harry, so he turns to Ron to get his opinion, but Ron just tells him to drop it. Harry fires back that it isn't his fault Slughorn invited them to his stupid party, but Ron just gets up and says he'll go to bed since he isn't invited to any parties. He stomps off towards the boys' dormitories, and as Harry and Hermione stare after him, Demelza approaches with a message from Professor Snape. He says he has to go to his office at 8:30 for his detention, no matter how many party invitations he has received. He's going to be sorting rotten flobberworms from good ones to use in potions, and doesn't need to bring any protective gloves. Harry grimly says, "Right," and thanks Demelza.
The movie scene cuts to the trio in their common room, sitting in front of the fire as Ron admits he thought he was going to miss that last one and hopes that Cormac isn't taking it too hard. He tells Hermione that Cormac's got a bit of a thing for her, and she lowers her copy of the Daily Prophet to look at Ron and exasperatedly says he is vile. Ron glances over to see Lavender gazing at him. Harry then asks Hermione if she's ever heard of the spell Sectum Sempra, showing it to her in his potions book, and she irritably tells him that she hasn't, and that if he had a shred of self-respect, he'd hand that book in. Ron says not bloody likely, since he's the top of the class, that he's even better than her, and Slughorn thinks he's a genius. This does nothing to improve Hermione's mood, and she says she wants to know who the owner of that book was. She tries to take the book from Harry, who refuses. They both stand up as Hermione demands to know why she can't see the book. Harry starts to walk away, saying the binding is fragile. Hermione follows after him as she repeats him in a tone illustrating how ridiculous that excuse is. He unknowingly backs up toward Ginny, who snatches the book from his hand and opens it to look inside. She asks who the Half-Blood Prince is, explaining to Hermione that that's what it says. This book is the property of the Half-Blood Prince. The three of them all just look at each other, and she tosses the book back to Harry. The scene transitions to show Harry at a table and looking at the book as the camera zooms into it.
So, there's a lot that happened in the book that wasn't even close to being included in this movie scene. You know, like a whole visit with Hagrid.
Well, they don't even mention that Hagrid is, like, not talking to the trio at all in the movies, so of course they can't send them to repair their friendship with Hagrid because they didn't make it a thing.
Right. And considering what they learn while they're there that did get included in the movie, which we'll talk about when we get to that point, but like they could have front-loaded that information for
they
us.
They could have, but they didn't.
They didn't. They definitely didn't. What does happen in this movie scene, I think, is kind of reminiscent of
Ginny overhearing Hermione talking to Harry about the book at the lunch table in the book previously.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which is why I said last week that it's a movie scene that kind of sort of corresponds with another part of the book, but not really, because it reminds me of it. It is not the same thing.
Am I confounded right now?
We didn't get it, so we didn't get it, so we didn't get it.
Do you get it?
Got it.
Good.
No. But there was... No, really, like, next to none of this happened in this book section. It just lines up. That's all it really is. It's so different and so next to nothing. Because in the book, in this half of the chapter, they're walking across the grounds to get to Hagrid's cabin after Quidditch trials, and Harry's so hungry, he's actually hoping there will be food at Hagrid's.
Which is something he's never hoped before.
Right? We know that Hagrid's cooking is a little iffy at best. And sometimes it's stoats.
Babies.
Why would you cook a stoat? I still am not over that.
It is, yeah, I get it. I get it.
He made stoat sandwiches.
I've seen videos of baby stoats, and they're
so cute.
They're so cute.
I would take actually, a stoat. To be honest, most animals, even the ones you eat, are so cute.
Cows and are adorable.
If I ever had to like kill and prepare an animal for my own consumption, I would be a vegetarian 100%.
I would turn into Fern from Charlotte's Web. Not. No, Papa.
I couldn't do it. Absolutely not.
No way, Jose.
But anyway. They're making their way to Hagrid's cabin, and Ron is
to Hagrid's cabin all day long.
Yes,
just like that,
exactly like that. Probably even singing that song.
It's it like is the 90s.
But Ron is talking through his Quidditch trial and how it went, and he's super excited because he's like flying that high of having succeeded.
Flying,
pun intended.
High. Yep. That sort of is reflected in the movie section, just a little bit. He, like, cracks a nut, right? What is he doing? It's like, with his hand.
I have no idea.
I feel like it's a nut, and he cracks, like, a walnut, and he just, like, in his hand, and he's like, I thought I was gonna miss that last one.
Your British accent is amazing.
That one was my bad British accent. I can do a real one, but, you know, being from the South, apparently Southern accents and British accents are very similar. So, in the way that you have to do your mouth, so.
Interesting.
Not bloody likely.
It does get the gist of it, where Ron is talking through. But that's, like, it. That's, like, the only thing really corresponds. I think that in the book, he seems more, like I said, flying that high. He's happy.
Yeah,
he got what he wanted. In the movie, he seems like a downright cocky douche.
He does. It's like... You took Cormac's personality when he was confounded.
Right. So. And what I think is funny is in the book, he says McLagan looked like he'd been confounded when he went off in the wrong direction. Like, Ron flat out says that.
And they see him, like, walk into the doors of the Great Hall, like he, like, well, smacks into it. Yeah,
when they're coming back from Hagrid's.
And that's so funny.
And when he says this, Harry notices that Hermione turns bright pink. But does not say anything.
Me too, girl. Me too. I would have done it.
Ron doesn't notice this because he's too busy talking about how great he did on his penalty saves.
He's such a goober.
But they make it to Hagrid's cabin, and Buckbeak is tethered out front. I mean, with her wings.
This is one of my favorite scenes in the book.
I love this because Hermione's just like, oh my, he's so really intimidating, isn't he?
And Ron's like, you rode him.
And Hermione's just like, still scary. I didn't like it. Not my thing. Not my thing. I really don't like flying.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like that would be scary.
But Harry, being Harry, just steps forward and bows. And of course, Buckbeak returns the bow because they're old buds at this point.
And he does my favorite thing. He says, how are you missing him?
Are you missing him too? But you're okay. You're here with Hagrid, right? And he doesn't even have to say who him is. Like, you know. And it is, I sometimes forget. Like, earlier on when we were talking about how Buckbeak belongs to Harry now because Sirius owned him. But he, like, literally stole him.
But they lived together for such a long
time.
They
did.
And I don't think Buckbeak would have stayed should he not want to. Like, I'm sure Sirius was like, you can go at any time.
Buckbeak's like, nah, I got a queen-size bed. Like, this is amazing.
My nest.
Yes.
Yeah. He would have been the one to make the nest because the boys make the nests. Mm-hmm. That's cute.
But it's just a very sweet moment where he's petting him and just getting to talk to somebody else that was close with Sirius in a way. I know he's an animal, but...
has this conversation and I feel like it's like he's kind of got his head on his beak and he's like, are you missing... like, where Ron and Hermione can't hear him.
Right, I agree.
And he's just having a very gentle, tender moment with his hippogriff.
Right.
Because Harry's the one that freed him, so I feel like...
Harry freed him, and he does technically belong to Harry.
Yeah.
Because he technically belonged to Sirius, and Sirius left him everything. Even though they kind of sort of stole him from Hagrid. But I don't know that Hagrid would consider himself as owning...
No, he's... Buckbeak. I care for this Buckbeak.
Yeah.
For this Buckbeak.
I care for this Buckbeak. So while Harry is petting this Buckbeak... Hagrid and Fang come around the corner of the cabin, and he just, like, briefly sees some kids near the hippogriff and, like, panics, like, get away from him, and then realizes who it is, and it's just like, oh, it's you lot. And meanwhile, Fang is, like, trying to jump up on Ron and Hermione so he can lick their ears, and Hagrid just turns away from him and goes in his house and slams his door.
Yeah.
And Hermione's just like, oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I think something we don't talk about enough is that Fang, no matter what, Fang is always Hagrid's number one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because he lives in the house with him. You know they sleep together.
Absolutely. I love, 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 love Harry's response to this situation.
This is a really good one.
Harry is just like, this is bullshit, Hagrid. And he just starts beating on the door. And he's like, open the door, I'll blast it open. And Hermione's just like, what? You can't blast it open. He's like, watch me. Stand back. And then before he does anything, Hagrid does in fact open the door. But he's just like, how dare you, Potter? I'm a teacher. A teacher.
Potter.
And Harry just goes, I'm sorry, sir.
All of his sassy lines are sir.
Right. And this throws Hagrid off. He's just like, wait.
Since when do you call me sir?
Right. And Harry just says, since when do you call me Potter? And Hagrid just like, oh, well, yeah, that's me outsmarted, isn't it? And I just love the whole exchange.
It's like, a very,
very
good exchange.
Clever, very amusing.
And he's come like, in, you ungrateful little bastard, I feel like is what he was going to say.
Clearly so annoyed with them, but also like, fine, whatever, we'll get this over with. And he lets them in.
He's having a lot of feelings right now.
Right? He's just like, what? You feel sorry for me? You think I'm lonely in here? And Harry's
like, who did Hagrid hang out with before the kids came?
Fang.
I wonder if other people go to visit him, though. Like, are other people friendly with Hagrid?
I would hope so.
Like Fred and George?
I would hope so.
It can't just have been Harry, Ron, right?
No. Harry's just like, we wanted to come see you. Hermione says that they missed him. And he's just like, yeah, right. And Hermione's just like, no, Hagrid, we really wanted to take care of magical creatures. He's like, sure, whatever. He's like, no, we did. It just wouldn't fit into our schedules. And again, he gives them that, yeah, right. And then they're interrupted by a weird squelching sound, which naturally everybody turns to figure out where that was. And
it was me.
It causes Hermione to scream.
Same.
Ron literally jumps out of his seat and comes around to the other side of the table just to, like, put a little more space between him and this barrel in the corner of the room that is filled with what looks like foot-long maggots.
I hate it.
And Harry, in an attempt to prove that they were genuinely interested in care of magical creatures and just couldn't fit in their schedule, ask this question in an interested fashion and not a revolted one, and manages to go, oh, what are those, Hagrid? What are those going to be? And Hagrid says they're not going to be anything. They're just giant grubs that he got to feed Aragog. And then he just starts crying. And you know that when Hagrid cries, it's this huge dramatic. It's like a waterfall. It's a mess.
Yeah.
And they're all like, and Hermione jumps up to comfort him. And he tells them that he thinks Aragog is dying. He got sick in the summer and just hasn't gotten any better.
Yeah.
And at first, you can just tell that Hermione's not really sure what to say, and she did not get to encounter Aragog. Only the boys did.
Yeah.
So she's a little bit like, and Ron's in the background going, don't engage, don't engage, don't engage.
Abort, abort. Danger, Will Robinson.
Right. And she ends up saying, is there anything we can do? And Hagrid says that he doesn't think there is, because ever since Aragog got ill, the rest of his tribe, his family, has gotten weird. And Harry's just like, yeah, we think we saw that side of him.
I think at this point, Hagrid has had Aragog since he was 13.
Right. It's been, what, 50 plus years? 60 years?
Yeah, 60 years. I mean, Hagrid took care of him and loved him, and he had him as an egg no bigger than a Pekingese.
Right?
Like, that's like a 60-year friendship. Just, he's gone. Like, that's got to be so hard. And I'm sure it just brings back a lot of memories for Hagrid of his dad dying and stuff like that. So it makes me so, like, I know that Ron and Harry are like, but
this,
like,
is not some cuddly little puppy. I don't know why you're so sad, but yeah.
But he is to him. He's, and like, it's his not best, like, friend.
Right. And it's also not like with a dog, like, and a cat and things like that, like pets like that. Like, obviously we love our animals and we talk to them, and to a certain extent, I'm positive they can understand us, mm-hmm. but they don't talk back. Like, you don't have conversations with him. He can literally sit there and talk to this spider.
Yeah, it's true.
This is a sentient talking being. Being that
he's had conversations with. He's watched grow.
More of a bond.
He helped him get a wife
and grow a family,
and grow a scary family.
Yeah. Fuck Nope's family.
I just think that in this moment, Harry and Ron are very 16, and they're not thinking about, they're not being very empathetic towards, it's hard. And Hermione's trying to be, but she's like, they're a Jew.
I think that Harry is kind of trying to be also.
It's just harder for him because he's been like, that thing tried to eat us.
Yeah, it literally, not him, but.
Not him, but his family tried to eat us. Yeah, so it's, I get it. It's kind of hard, but.
And the family was dangerous then. They barely got away. It was only thanks to the car. Mm-hmm. So it definitely wouldn't be safe for anybody but Hagrid to go near him now.
But they're starting to get weird about Hagrid, too.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. But Aragog does say in the second one, they only don't attack Hagrid on my command.
Right.
And if
there's going to be an area of the forest, like he said, that he's not going to be able to go to anymore.
Yeah.
It is kind of a shame that he was never able to form that kind of bond after all that time with any of them.
Any of the other ones, yeah.
Because it'd be like Aragog living on a bit.
Yeah.
But even though Hagrid says that it wouldn't be safe for them to go near anyone but him, and maybe even barely him, he does appreciate that she said this, mm-hmm. and it seems to lighten the mood.
Yeah.
And Hagrid is able to agree that he knows they're insanely busy, and he says he's sorry that he's been aloof. He's just been worried about Aragog. And then, of course, he's been having the own self-doubt things where he's just like, I also kind of worried that you would have wanted to continue care of magical creatures if Grubbly Plank had still been teaching instead. And all three of them, to give even Ron the credit here, all three of them immediately are like, no, 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 Professor Grubbly Plank was a dreadful teacher. Dreadful.
I think the book describes it as them untruthfully saying or something.
Yeah.
Like, specifically lying.
It does specifically say that they untruthfully insist that she was dreadful.
Because she was a good teacher.
Yeah. But she also acknowledged that Hagrid was too.
She did, and I love that.
Yes.
She was a very good substitute. She was like, I'm just here until Hagrid comes back.
Yeah, and then when she was talking about preparing them for their exams,
they already knew a bunch of stuff.
She's like, no, they already know most of what they need. I'm just covering this.
Yep.
I loved that.
Yeah, she was good.
But anyway, Hagrid feels much better, so by the time that they leave at dusk, he even seems cheerful.
That's good.
He's got his friends back.
Mm-hmm. So this reaction, I know that he's upset about Aragog, but this reaction leads me to believe no sixth year's moved on to the new level.
Yeah, it is possible.
So he's probably got a lot of self-doubt about that too. But I mean, we don't know. Hufflepuffs and Ravenclaws, we didn't see them interact with Hagrid, so we don't know how their classes went with Hagrid, because we only see Slytherins and Gryffindors, and Slytherins and Gryffindors are not always nice.
No.
I say judging you. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I did it to Katie all the time, so.
Judge the Slytherin.
I honestly think that Slytherins and Gryffindors are a different side of the same coin.
They are.
Which is one of the reasons why they don't always get along.
Slytherin and Gryffindor were best friends until Slytherin started being really pure bloody racist.
Yeah. Bloody racist.
Bloody racist. That is true.
Pure bloody racist. So it seems like there wasn't any food at Hagrid's because Harry is still starving.
Except the grubs, man. You could eat in the grubs.
Eat the grubs.
No.
Pass.
And they head immediately to the Great Hall because he doesn't even have that much time. He's got to eat and get ready for Snape's detention.
Eat before that detention? Yuck. Give me a to-go box.
Oh, there is no way that Snape would let Harry eat during his detention. And considering what we learned he has to do.
Oh, yeah. I just wouldn't want to eat before. So it'd be like, hey, Ron, Hermione, take these lefties to the... What do they call it?
Lefties.
Take this carry out upstairs.
Takeaways.
For me. Yeah, takeaways. That's the word I was looking for.
Take the takeaway.
Take the takeaway upstairs for me, please.
I love that. I wish we called him takeaways here.
You and I can start calling it takeaways.
All right, I'm doing it. It's happening. It's a thing now.
I'm going to go get takeaway after this.
Anyway, they get to the castle and see Cormac McLaggen trying to go into the Great Hall, and it takes him 2 tries because the first try, he bounces off of the door frame. And Ron laughs at this because he's still feeling a little petty, like,
he's being cocky.
Yeah. But Harry grabs Hermione's arm and is like, it does look like McLaggen was confounded. And he was standing right in front of where you were sitting. Huh. Huh. And she's just like, okay, fine, I did it. But it turns out he was really talking some shit about Ron and Ginny.
I mean,
which pissed Hermione off, yeah. Understandably. And that he has a nasty temper, which was pretty evident the way that he reacted when Harry was just like, Ron saved them all, you didn't. Ron's keeper.
Yeah, I mean.
And she says that you wouldn't have wanted that on your team anyway.
I agree with that, honestly.
I think that Hermione is completely correct that you would not want that kind of attitude and temper on your team because they are not team players. And I think that in that sense, she did Harry a solid.
Yeah. But I like that he teases her about being dishonest as a prefect.
Isn't that kind of dishonest? Aren't you a prefect? It's so funny to me. Because, like, yeah, that was blatant cheating.
Yeah, it was.
Like, Hermione cheated so that Ron would make the team.
She did.
And she can justify it all she wants.
But it's still cheating.
And she's not wrong.
No.
But she's also not right.
Well, what do you think?
I think this is a good pondering. I want to know your thoughts. Because I get it.
I get it.
And again, she's not wrong, but it's still fucking cheating.
My Hufflepuff side is like, I would have just let him lose on his own.
Well, like we were saying last week, he could have put them both on the team and have them be alternates.
That's the word! Damn it! That is the word! I'm so mad!
I'm literally leaving all of that in. That was amazing.
We had such a hard time remembering that word, and we were just like, the backup.
The backup, the understudy.
The understudy.
And then here I am saying it accidentally. That's what it is.
That is totally what it is. Alternate. Yeah.
And then he could have shown his true colors, and it could have been like, all right, man, this is not okay. You're off the team. And then it's legit and not cheating.
Yeah, I agree.
But at the same time, this did end up saving them a lot more of a headache that we get to witness a little bit later in the long run.
In the book, not in the movie.
In the book, not the movie, yes.
Ugh, roast beef.
When you mentioned how, like, this is the moment where Ron starts to sort of, like, be weird about Harry and Hermione's friendship. Because at this point, like, Ron is walking into the Great Hall and Harry grabs Hermione by the arm to have this whispered conversation with her. And it goes on long enough that Ron gets far enough ahead that he realizes they're not with him. And he's
just, like, talking
around
to himself
to come back and just be like, what are you two doing? And Harry and Hermione both do the one thing that makes it look like they were doing something. And it's they very quickly at the exact same time go nothing.
Yeah.
So I can see where this suspicion is starting to build from this concern a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, like you already pointed out, Apparently, the Great Hall is serving roast beef as one of the dishes for dinner because that is all Harry can smell.
That's one of his favorite dinners.
And his stomach starts to hurt. He's so hungry. But if you think about it, at this point, he had breakfast.
He had trials. He had toast. It specifically says he had toast.
So he had some breakfast.
He had bread.
And trials. And then nothing.
And then they went to Hagrid's. They didn't get lunch
before going to Hagrid's.
I would be starving too.
I would
too. Give me some roast beef on a Sammy.
I'd be getting hangry.
Yeah, all the time. Constantly.
But they start to make their way to the Gryffindor table and get cut off by Slughorn, who I would imagine kind of takes up the whole aisle.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, Harry, my boy, I was looking for you. I really wish y'all could see me. I'm
just holding her arms out.
Holding the arms out, wobbling back and forth as I say that. I'm being Slughorn. But he says that he wanted to invite him to supper in his rooms, have a little bit of a party with some of the rising stars, which starts listing them off. Of course, it includes Cormac McLaggen, Zabini, the charming Melinda Bobbin. And he says, I don't know if you know her, but her family owns a large chain of apothecaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rising star because her family's probably wealthy.
Indeed.
And then he mentions that he was hoping Miss Granger might also join them. And in this whole process, he just completely ignores Ron.
Truthfully, he's looking for exceedingly talented people. And I love Ronald Bilious Weasley, but
he is reasonably talented. He is not a shining star.
I feel like he's a hit or miss. Like, sometimes he's really got it, sometimes he doesn't. And most likely lately, he has not really had it.
Definitely not in potions when Slughorn would see him the most, so. I love how the difference here from book to movie is that in the book, Harry's still like, oh, God, I don't want to do that at all. But in the movie, he would have been like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, I'm supposed to let you collect me.
Yeah, I don't like the personality change that they do. Yeah. It's terrible.
I get why they did it, but also, why did they do it? And Harry says immediately, probably pleased that he can say it, I can't go. I have detention with Professor Snape. And Slughorn's just like, oh, I ought to be able to persuade Severus to postpone your detention.
Have you met Severus Snape? No.
I mean, he did teach him.
He did, but so have you met him as your colleague? Because no.
I feel like he thinks he has enough sway.
Also taught him when he was at school with James and Lily, so he knows how much Snape hated James. We're not putting two and two together,
sir? He just wants to get his way and is sure that he can talk it out to get that way.
Yeah,
he probably does that a lot.
I love that Harry's like, there's no chance in hell.
No, this is not gonna happen, especially since Dumbledore already had him change it once.
Yeah.
He's like, Snape would not do that for anybody but Dumbledore. Because how is Snape gonna look at Dumbledore and be like, no, you can teach him next Saturday?
Just like that. Just like that.
I would tell Dumbledore. He's not gonna do that to Dumbledore. Hermione, however, just says, I really wish that you could go because I'm going to end up having to go alone. And she's just of the mindset that she has to go. And I'm sure she's thinking about that, especially after she confounded him.
Yeah.
I always think about that. Like, let's say Hermione agrees to go to this party with Cormac later on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not actually as big of a douche as you think. And they have a really nice time and they end up dating for a little bit. Does she ever confess to him that she did that and fucked up his keeper trial?
No. Just like she has never told Ron. They have been married for a long time now, but she has never told him.
Yeah. I always have that random thought, like, if they actually did ever have a relationship, that is not the grounds you want to start that on.
No. Just thought that was funny. Maybe she would pull it out of her brain and be like, I have to forget this.
Right.
Like Eternal Sunshine. Like, no, get it out of my brain.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What you're talking about.
But, oh my God, I do love this book so much.
It is a good,
I think that's what made the movie sort of disappointing, is I love
this book.
There
so
is
much.
A good chance that it's a bouncing between 3, 6, and 7 as my faves.
Yeah, I get it.
Understandably, Ron is upset that he got ignored by Slughorn.
I mean, ugh. At least he didn't call you Wallenby or whatever.
Wallenby. I mean, he does later.
Wimbley. Does he in the book?
I think he does mess up his name in the book, too.
I'm sure. That's so stupid, but whatever.
We'll find out for sure when we get to that point.
Yep.
Anyway, he's kind of upset, so he just snaps that Ginny's probably going to be invited, too, so you're not going to be alone.
Well, that's good. He's such a grump.
It then says after dinner, they head back to the Gryffindor Tower. So I have to assume that they all still ate.
Yeah.
Even though Hermione was planning on going to this party, and she's like, I don't care, I'm eating. Like, I'll eat with
maybe
you guys.
Maybe she doesn't like the food.
Maybe, I don't know.
Or maybe she just had a drink and she was like, well, I'll just go. I'll sit with you guys and go then.
But they managed to find a free table, which at this point, a lot of people are back from dinner and just hanging out in the common room. So it's pretty crowded. And Ron is still in a bad mood. So he just sits down and folds his arms and stares up at the ceiling because he's kind of being a little bitch about this. I get it. But, like, this is a long time to still be pissy.
I like this scene in the movie because it gives us something that we don't see very often in the movies, which is we see downtime.
Right.
And it's just Hermione reading the paper, Harry studying his advanced potion-making book, and Ron's eating the walnut or whatever
thing.
I don't know. He, like, crushes a nut with his hand. What the
heck?
He
does something. I don't know what it was. Have you ever tried crushing a walnut with your hand, though? Like,
in a pecan? No way.
Mm-mm.
So that's going on. But this moment reminds me of a moment that happens later in the book when they're in the common room and Jenny is sitting between Harry's legs and he's like sitting on the couch. And it describes her as sitting like between his legs while he's sitting on the couch. So she's like on the floor.
Yeah.
And I like that. But I wish that that had happened.
Right.
Like, you guys shared downtime, but I feel like you shared the wrong downtime.
Yeah. And this kind of lines up, because, like, now they're in the common room.
Mm-hmm.
They're at a table.
Kind of lines up with
not
the
really,
movie.
Not really the way that it was. But Hermione is reading the Evening Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm not really sure why they need a Daily Prophet and an Evening Prophet, because how much could possibly happen overnight?
Yeah.
That seems excessive.
Well, I guess right now they would have, like, a lot of arrest reports, maybe.
Yeah, but you'd think that that could just be, like, okay.
Here's a pamphlet.
This is from this morning. This is from this morning. Yeah. Like, this is what happened yesterday. This is what happened. It seems like a lot. Because what's really going to happen overnight that you need to put in the Morning Prophet?
I wonder if Evening Prophets only come out when there's, like, big news.
Maybe. Harry asks her if there's anything new. So I guess things could have changed throughout the course of the day. A lot happens during a prep of a war.
We're very magical lately.
But in the movie, like you were saying, you got Ron on the couch and Harry and Hermione on the floor. And obviously the timing is sort of different. This is both at night,
mm-hmm.
but it is straight after the trials.
Yeah, I was like, this
in the movie.
The trials took all day. Good Lord.
Apparently. Or they started them later.
Maybe.
I don't know. But it seems the way they transitioned it, Ron was talking about that last shot.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing Ron, he could have been talking about that for the last 3 hours.
God, that's right.
But it definitely implied that they were just relaxing in the common room mm-hmm. after trials.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the book, they're sitting in the common room after dinner before Harry's detention with Ron in a bad mood because he didn't get to go to a party or didn't get invited to a party that's going to be happening. And this is before Hermione goes too. So apparently he likes late suppers.
Well, he breakfasts late because
he likes to sleep
that.
In.
Yeah, I get it. Me too. I miss it.
But it is generally lining up with the place.
The activity is correct-ish.
That's yeah, it's ooh, it was a stretch.
A little bit.
Hermione tells Harry that there's not much new and then tells Ron that his dad is mentioned.
Okay.
Which causes immediate panic. Yeah. And Hermione's like, no, he's all right. It just says that he went to Malfoy's house to search it again based off of a confidential tip. And Harry's just like, yeah, that was mine.
So this isn't in the movie, but it really should have been because it's really a huge plot point.
We never even saw Harry tell Mr. Weasley what they witnessed.
No, he doesn't talk to Mr. Weasley until Christmas.
Yeah.
I think that the way that they word this, they call Lucius the Death Eater. That's good.
Yeah.
You should.
I mean, he's been arrested for being
I know
a
that.
Death Eater, so.
But so often when people are arrested for stuff.
Alleged murder muncher.
Well, they do alleged, but then when they're a person of color, they don't.
True.
And I think that it's good. They call out this pure blood nonsense.
Yep.
You do
it. Yeah, I think you're right.
You do you, Evening Prophet.
So Harry starts speculating that if he didn't find anything dangerous at Malfoy Manor, that Draco must have brought it to Hogwarts with him. And Hermione's just like, no, he couldn't have. We were all searched when we got here. And Harry's just like, what? I wasn't searched. And Hermione remembers that he showed up late. And it's like, oh, well, you wouldn't have been. But Filch ran us all over with the secrecy sensor. And any dark object that anyone was trying to sneak in would have been found, as they did so with Crab's shrunken head. Not Crab's head being shrunken, but Crab had a shrunken head. If anybody tried to bring anything dangerous, if it was finding a shrunken head, there's no way somebody could have actually snuck in something really bad.
I don't think that's true.
They were getting the love potions passed.
That's why I don't think it's true, because you could have hidden poison in a bottle marked gilly water.
Right.
And that's not going to shoot up any red flags. It's probably not going to set off the secrecy sensor.
The love potions were sent in perfume bottles, right?
Cough syrup.
Cough syrup. I think it was both, but still. And Harry does point that out later when he realizes that they're sneaking love potions.
He's
just like, excuse me, what?
Yeah.
So his next thought, though, because this is before he knows about that, he's like, okay, well, they can't bring anything into the school. Maybe somebody sent it to him by owl, like his mother. And Hermione's just like,
Why would they not check the owls,
They're Harry? Checking the owls too, Harry. And at this point, Harry has nothing to
argue with.
Rebut that one. He's just like, what do you think, Ron? How could Malfoy? And Ron's just like, just drop it. Harry's just like, dude, it's not my fault. Slughorn did not invite you to the stupid party.
I like
party.
That he flips on him, because calm down.
Right.
It
At
isn't
this point,
his fault.
It's been a while and he's still being pissy about this.
Which, Ronald, get out.
He does not do well feeling left out. He has a definite FOMO.
That's because he's 6 out of 7. And I feel like as 6 out of 7, you were probably left out of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. But he just gets up and just, well, since I'm not going to any parties, I guess I'll just go to bed.
That sounds wonderful. Let me go to sleep.
Right? Oh, my God.
It's like 7:30. Yes, let me go to bed.
So he just stomps off to the boys' dormitory, and Harry and Hermione are both just sitting there like, what the fuck, man?
We didn't. I guess they could have piped up and been like, oh, could Ron come too? But, you're not really going to ask. That's kind of like inviting yourself to somebody's house.
Well, and then, you run the risk of him saying no.
Well, that's
and
true.
That's even more awkward.
I don't think he would, though.
I don't think he would either, but...
Because he's following,
I
manners.
Also don't think that Ron would want to just be invited the pity invite.
A pity invite, yeah.
Yeah. They are interrupted with the arrival of Demelza.
I love her.
Who has a message for Harry from... Actually, what I love about this is she says, Harry, I have a message for you. And Harry goes, from Professor Slughorn? Because on some level, especially now that Ron's not right there, on some level, he's kind of like...
I don't want to go to this detention.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he actually talk him out of it? And she says, no, it's from Professor Snape. And he's like, aw.
Boo.
So he still has to go to his office 8:30 for his detention. No matter how many party invitations you've received.
How long is this detention? 8:30 is pretty late to go to a detention. Is it like a 30-minute detention?
Well, they only have bedtimes, and the forest is only forbidden if it's not a detention reason.
You're right, but that's so stupid.
Demelza also tells Harry that Snape said he's going to be sorting rotten flabber worms from good ones to use in potions, and he doesn't need to bring protective gloves.
That was our trivia question.
It sure was.
Right at the end.
And what I love about this is Harry's still so polite. Even though she just gave him, awful
the
news.
The worst news, yeah.
He's just like, right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Demelza.
He is really nice. He's a good captain. None of this happens in the movie. We do get the conversation about whether Hermione knows the spell in the Half-Blood Prince's book, which I think is interesting. It's just a little foreshadowing.
Right.
And we get more of a bold and brazen Ginny than we've ever gotten when she snatches the book away from Harry and's like, who's the Half-Blood Prince?
And Hermione's just like, what?
Who?
That's what it says.
And then she goes to the library, but we don't see that, but she does.
No, it's just...
different.
Yeah, and it made sense in the way that that we needed to know there were more things in the book than just notes about potions.
Mm-hmm. That there were other written spells and stuff. Because that spell
does become significant later. They could have, but
no.
No. And like I said, it kind of reminds me of when they're talking about it in the book. And Ginny's just like, hang on. Let me bring my flowery smell up to your nose holes. And
yuck. Yuck. Your nose holes. That's what Voldemort has, right? Nose holes.
No, I literally meant to say nostrils and I said nose instead. So I just went with it. Your nose holes.
Your nostrils.
And get mad at you for following directions from a book.
To be fair, she has to be like freaked the fuck out about stuff like that.
I wouldn't blame her either.
She is one of the only people in like the entire wizarding world that has been directly connected in that way to Voldemort.
Yeah.
And nobody asks her questions.
No. And Harry too. But I think that's one of the things, especially in the fifth book, when Harry was being a little bitch about finding out that Voldemort was possessing him. And Ginny had that moment where she was like, you know, seeing as how I'm the only other person you know that's been possessed by Voldemort, you could have asked me. And I think that is such a huge connection between them, a way that they can understand each other on a level that nobody else possibly could, that people tend to overlook that when they debate whether or not Harry and Ginny were a good match.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's just interesting because we did not get that in the movie. Nope. We just got, like you said, a more bold and brazen Ginny who yells at groups of people to shut it and steals things out of Harry's hands and feeds him food and ties his fucking shoelaces. Wait, that's not bold and brazen. That's cringe.
That is cringe. I do think, like we were talking about earlier, is that they were trying to make up for how much of a disaster they did Bonnie Wright. Like, they messed her character up so bad. And
then they mess it up worse.
And
mess it up
worse, and it's cringy, and we don't like it.
No.
And all I'm saying is Ginny better be good in this TV series.
She better be fucking badass.
And not that Bonnie Wright's not. It's just they gave...
Bonnie Wright would have been a wonderful Ginny had they written her properly.
Yeah, if you guys wrote her right, she would have been fine. So, but
I kind of think they should bring her back to play Lily.
She would be a good Lily.
If she wanted
to. She now has her little boy.
I know. But considering how short this movie scene was, mm-hmm. and how we did not see anybody but the trio and Ginny and, you know, Lavender, all people we've talked about before.
Yep.
We can just move right into our Potter pondering, which, as we stated, we want to know what your thoughts are on Hermione using Confundus on Cormac McLaggen. Find the post on our Facebook page and share your thoughts. Or call us at 216-526-6792 and leave your response as a voicemail. Make sure you start off telling us your name and then go into your answer. Don't forget you can also stitch your response on TikTok.
We really look forward to reading, hearing, and seeing them. That will bring us to this week's Wizarding Word, which is there's a new Lego Harry Potter set. There's multiple sets. So the first one that we saw, though, is a real live talking sorting hat made out of Legos.
It's so cool.
It is really cool. They also have several others that they've released, one being the Forbidden Forest with magical creatures. It looks like there's a hippogriff you can get and little Ron and Hermione figures. There's a little Thestral. Oh, it's so cute. There's a part that you can add on to your Hogwarts castle, should you have it. It is very expensive. So if you have it, we should be friends.
Oh my goodness, Legos are so expensive.
Legos are very expensive. Legos are not a kid thing anymore. They're definitely an adult thing.
A very adult nerd thing.
Yes.
And I love it.
Yes. But you have this to attach to your castle, should you have it, is the owlry. You have a little filch with a broom. That's so cute. And then it looks like a Cho and a Harry. Down at the bottom.
And a Cho and a Harry.
The birds come with it.
Aww.
Then there's Hagrid's hut, an unexpected visit. It has Norbert. Oh, it's from when Draco sees Norbert.
Aww, that's so cute.
And Fang has his own little house. That's adorable. Then you can do the castle boathouse and add it to your castle as well, should
that's
you have
so
it.
That's so cool.
It comes with boats and everything. The Lego Harry Potter Hedwig at number 4, Privet Drive. It comes with a trunk. This one would be fun to do with kids, maybe 5 and up. It's just a little Lego Hedwig.
That's
super cute.
And
it's got
a
trunk and the Privet Drive sign. And then, of course, we have the Flying Ford Anglia.
Oh, yeah.
And you get a tiny Scabbers that you can break in half, a Hedwig, and some luggage, and Ron and Harry.
That's awesome.
And I think that's it. Those are all the ones that they have listed.
And we have the link set to post to our Facebook page when this episode comes out so that you can go look at them for yourself. But that'll bring us to this week's trivia question, which is, when is the first Hogsmeade trip of the term? The first one who responds with the correct answer in the code word hashtag long walk will get a sticker.
And it is a long walk.
And it is a long walk.
It is a very long walk.
If you've played Hogwarts Legacy, you know.
I just
and you're
fly
so
there
grateful
now,
when
it's
you
irritating.
Get your broom. I just flew powder there.
I guess I could
that
do that
too.
But
unless
I like
I'm
flying.
Looking for something. Anyway, long walk gets you a sticker.
Another way to get a sticker is to rate and review us through iTunes. If you don't have an Apple account, then you can write us a recommendation on our Facebook page. Make sure to email us at foxsakepod@gmail.com and let us know you did, and we'll get back to you to figure out which sticker you want and where to send it.
Don't forget to find us and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at foxsakepod. Following us on Podbean at foxsakepod will get you the episode as early as possible and give you a leg up in answering the trivia question. You can also go to our website at forfoxsakepodcast.com to check out our For Fox's Sake and Harry Potter related merchandise for sale.
Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel where we post our weekly podcast episodes, cooking show episodes, vlogs, bloopers, and other random videos.
If you would like to become a patron, you can find us on Patreon at Fox's Sake Pod. Patronage starts at $2 and will get you some awesome perks like For Fox's Sake swag, access to our Discord channel, chats, and more. Check out our page for the details. Any support you can give is greatly appreciated. And join us next week when we talk about the first half of Chapter 12, Silver and Opals, and the corresponding film scenes.
Thanks for listening. Hope you hear us again. I'm Carly.
I'm Ellen, and we are
For Fox's Sake.